Yeah, hopefully today I'll get to go to a pumpkin patch.
Ooh.
Which is fun. Festive. We haven't done that since I was probably 10 years old. That's now exciting. I'm 21.
So it's been a little bit of time.
Yeah. It's been a lot of time. I want to make a really cool design.
Kind of interesting.
And
in the logo for Toyota.
It sounds pretty simple. I'd be down. Yeah. It could go on the back side of the pumpkin.
Yeah. There'll be a face on the front side and a pumpkin on the back side. One more thing before we figure out where this cold open ends. I kind of got a... Okay, look, listen. Hold on. Wait, yeah, that's it. Wait. There it is. Basically know all of the chords required for House of Gold now.
That's exciting. Yeah. Yay, instruments. I love to learn. Yay, learning about music.
Learn to love music. What's that in the background? Oh shit, is that it's a good theme music? What's it like?
What?
Thank you, Lily. Let's start the show. And this is Tangential, a podcast about the internet and the stuff that people do on it. Every week, Jules and I, for a varying length of time, go through our internet search histories, pick out the stuff that we found interesting, and kind of chat about it for anywhere between 30 and 60 minutes. This is a miniature episode. You can roll back and just look at the episode lengths to find out which ones are the long ones and which ones are the short ones. This is one of the short ones. Jules, what day are we talking about this week?
I'm talking about Thursday.
I'm also talking about Thursday. Weird. It's almost like we might have planned that in the pre-show or something.
Oh. What's a pre-show? What is planning?
What is planning? Who are things? Jules, what did you do on Thursday? Which is the only day we're talking about this week.
Cool. Okay, so I've been wanting to get a haircut for a while, but I want to grow out my hair for graduation photos. I don't know.
Those things exist in contrast directly to each other.
Yes, I understand that. I also don't understand why I think I need to have long hair in my graduation photos, but I guess that's just something I've always imagined, so that's the way I want it to be.
Chase your bliss.
Hooray for graduating. So yeah, I got a haircut anyway, but it was just a trim. And I wanted to, every time I go in for a haircut, I look up haircuts that I possibly might want, because who doesn't want to switch things up a little bit from time to time? And I always find nothing. I always find no way to change up my hair without, I guess I'm just not bold enough for it. But you know how I just wouldn't shave
I wouldn't half of it.
I can't even part my hair differently. I think it looks weird with the middle part or undercut. Any other side part.
Undercut.
No. Okay, so I always wear my hair in a top knot or a top bun, and there's always this one strand that sticks out because someone cut my hair there, or... So when I went to my
hairdresser.
Stylist.
Got it.
Hairdresser. She... I don't have a stylist. What am I talking about? When I went to the hairdresser, she was like, oh, do you flat iron your hair? And I said, no, I never do anything to my hair except wash it and put conditioner in it. And she said, oh, well, you have that one strand, and I thought you might have burnt yourself, and the hair might have fallen out there, and that's why it's a different length. And I said, oh, no, I actually think that's because last year during finals, I was stressing a ridiculous amount, and my hair started falling out. So there's a large clump of hair that just fell out, and now that portion is growing back now, but it's a different length than all my other hair. So anyway, that one piece is always shorter than everything else, obviously. And then when I put my hair up into a top knot, it always sticks out, and it annoys me so much. So if I were to get an undercut, that's basically when undercuts grow out, it just doesn't look great because hair grows at different lengths times. Anyway.
Damn it.
Yeah.
My lame.
Yeah. So no undercut for me.
Boo.
But yeah, I was looking up different hairstyles for wider or like square jaws, and nothing. Like, I can't get bangs. I don't know. Maybe one day I will find a haircut that I think suits my face. But for now, there is no haircut that I would like.
You should just walk into Supercuts, and which is, I assume, where everyone gets their haircut.
Right, and ask them, give me your best.
Show me what you got. And you sit in the chair, you close your eyes, and then in 15 to 20 minutes, I don't know how long it takes to cut hair, 15 to 20 minutes,
I'm bald.
You walk out. The brand new hairstyle, and there to me seems to be no downsides to that plan, so I really think you should explore it.
Yeah, I usually just go for long layers, and that's what I've always done. What about you? What do you usually get when you go
to get your hair cut? Shop. So right now I am rocking the kid from Kid and Play look that the most other black millennials are also rocking, which I like didn't realize was a thing that was happening, and then I like, oh, it's a thing. I just like coincidentally fell into it, where you just let your hair grow out up, but you cut the sides down. But because I like don't like getting my hair cut, like there's just something weird to me about it. It always gets, especially when I'm up here. Like when I'm at school, because there's like I've been seeing the same human being, and that person's been cutting my hair since I was like 4 years old at home.
Oh, really? That's so cool. Yeah.
So I've been seeing him. So it's like weird whenever anyone else like enters the zone. And like it like legitimately gives like stresses me out. Like I had my first year at Hofstra, Courtney and Kevin. I'm pretty sure I told you the story. Courtney and Kevin tried to take me to, like, get my haircut because I needed to get my haircut. And I had...
Ooh, I thought you were going to say we're going to cut your... And I was like,
No.
I don't...
That would have ended extremely poorly. They took me... So we went to the mall. We got on the shuttle. We went to the mall. And then we, like, approached the barbershop, and I had, like, a meltdown. Like, I just started crying and, like, running around the floor in front of the mall because just like I could not emotionally handle it. Like it was very bad.
That's a lot. That's a lot for
it was a lot
for an 18-year-old man to go through.
It was a lot. Look, looking back on it, it was kind of funny, I guess. Probably not as funny for Courtney and or Kevin.
Yeah. They probably had no idea what to do.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm gonna go get a pretzel. Tell us when you...
Yeah, so anyway, they just cut the sides down. I kind of want to, like, put highlights in it. I've been saying that for the better part of a year.
Yeah.
But I don't know what color of the highlights would be.
You know, I'm a firm believer that someone's natural hair color is the best hair color that they can have. So I don't know. There are certain celebrities that look better as redheads or as blondes, but I don't know. I think there's
like you cannot imagine. Can you like imagine Emma Stone? Oh, I guess she did dye her hair.
She's naturally blonde.
Yeah, that's why. That's why I stopped saying the words. So I looked up. I was scrolling through the internet. I found a video on AV Club. Of 1D Bradley Baker, who is the voice of Olmec and Perry the Platypus, and just like a bunch of other animals and rocks.
Best Perry impersonation go. Okay, yours was better, I guess.
It's not great. The thing is, like, I don't know if he uses his tongue because it, like, it feels like, I don't know. Anyway.
It feels like it's a throat thing.
Yeah, it feels like it's like he's doing, like, a trill, but, like, in his throat.
I can't do it. This is why voice actors are important.
That's why they're important. We need to value our voice actors. But yeah, he voiced Perry, the platypus on Phineas and Ferb and Olmec from Legend of the Hidden Temple. And then he voices Klaus on American Dad. I'm now looking at his IMDb page. He also voiced Appa on Avatar and and DOG on Milo Murphy's Law. He's Fish 1 and Fish 2 on SpongeBob. Yeah, he's got just a plethora of
ton of credits.
Voice acting credits.
I wonder if voice acting is his sole profession.
It has to be. I think so. He like works a lot. Like he works a lot. But I found out that as he was he got the role of Olmec because he was taking operatic singing lessons when he was living in Orlando. And he used that training that he was like going through when they went in for auditions for Olmec when they were looking for someone to voice that big rock man. And he was like, I feel like I was the only person who brought any sort of weight and gravity to it. And I was like, okay.
Get it? Because rock man?
Yeah, get it.
Weight and gravity?
Yeah. And then I kind of got down a rabbit hole on Legend of the Hidden Temple, which I think Legend of the Hidden Temple or Guts? Quick, go.
Guts.
Yeah, I think it's Guts. So I watched a handful of episodes of both of them, and I think that Legends, the reason that Legends sucked is that because the game was so rigged that like you could just because of the way that the math worked on the token stage, like you could kind of lose your way through, but if you had half of the talisman, like that would be enough to get you through, but then not enough to get you through the temple. And, like, part of the excitement was watching all of the human beings involved, especially on Guts, go through the aggro crag. But then you would get two shitty kids who barely made it through the temple games and now had to do, the actual temple. And then they couldn't do it because they were either tired because they were 9 or they were just bad at, like, puzzles. Yeah. Everyone should go watch Legends of the Hidden Temple. And if Nickelodeon, hey, Jeff, if you could just make some phone calls, bring back Legends of the Hidden Temple. I'll take Kirk's spot if we need to. But, yeah. What else did you do on the day that we were talking about, which is Thursday?
Thursday. I am taking a Scandinavian cinema class for my film minor. And we watched this fantastic film, Passion of Joan of Arc, which was made in 1928 by Carl Dreyer, who's this very famous Scandinavian director. And there is this one actress, or there's this actress who plays Joan. Her name is Renee Falconetti, and her performance in that film is just astounding. It's such a great film. If you haven't heard about it, It's this black and white film from black and white silent film from 1929, but it's filmed. Well, I guess I should go into the plot. If you don't know the story of Joan of Arc, do some history. Do some history research because that's a lot to go into, and I don't want to bore everyone. But she actually has an amazing story, and this movie specifically focuses on her trial and just how grueling and treacherous of a process that was, and how it just beat her down emotionally. And the performance that Falconetti delivers is amazing. It's a film that's shot primarily in mid and close-up shots, and because of that you just get the full transformation of this astounding figure of history. And Falconetti's facial expressions. There's no shot that's the same in that movie, mm-hmm. which is amazing if you watch it. Pauline Kael, if you don't know her, she's one of the most revered film critics ever. She said that Falconetti's performance is perhaps the best performance ever to have been captured on film to this day, which is amazing. And then Roger Ebert said nearly the same thing, but it's an amazing film and I recommend it to anyone. There's multiple scores you can listen to it with. You can listen to it with the Joan of Arcs, which are this, I think, Swedish rock mm-hmm. band. I'm not sure about that. With their score to each scene, which is really, really cool. Or you can just listen to it.
Or you can use the weirdly enough, the score from Wonder Woman also, right. also lines up right. perfectly.
Lines up perfecto. Perfecto.
That sounds real dope.
But yeah, it's a really good movie. I recommend it to everyone. I think it's on YouTube. So if you'd like to watch it, you can. Unless you get bored by silent films. Which I'll be the first to admit, even though I'm a film minor and love film, I find myself wanting to look at my phone during silent films sometimes because the intertitles, I just hate the concept of intertitles and having to explain plot through words yeah. because that's not what cinema is, you know? I almost feel like silent movies are a different medium in entirety. Yeah. But yeah, definitely watch it. I have to say it's one of the best films I've seen in a really long time, and it came out in 1928, so, I mean, yeah, that was my film tidbit.
Love Jules'
film. On to you.
Which one do I want to do first? Let's do, you know about HQ Trivia?
Nope.
It's a hard no. Okay. So, remember Vine, the only good thing Twitter's ever done?
Yes.
So, when Twitter killed that, they let the guys who made Vine go, and those humans made their own company called HQ Trivia, where yep. every day, it's an app. Remember, like, Trivia Crack? And, shit, there was another one. It was really popular my first year. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's just like all of those other multiplayer trivia games, except there's like a cash prize. So every single person that is playing in the game, which is literally everyone that has an iPhone, is playing the game at the same time, doing the trivia. And then if you win, you win money. So like the game, there are two games a day. There's like one at 3, and there's one at noon, and like one at 3 or something. And then the pots vary anywhere between $250 and like $500. And then if you're one of the last people that like wins the trivia, that money gets split, and then they just give you the money in PayPal.
Wow. That's cool.
It's wild. So the weird thing about this is that it's not like it's just text. There's a human man who is hosting the game show. His name is Scott, and it looks so fucking Black Mirror. It's ridiculous because it's like he's very shiny. He's just kind of, he looks like he lives in the phone. He's talking to people. There's a running chat of people who are watching the game, and if you get eliminated, you can continue to watch the game and then participate in the chat. As you're like, because you can't answer questions anymore. It is so, so wild. Not on Android wild, yet. Yeah. It's very sad. But like, I just have been watching people through Twitter play it. And it's all the questions seem extremely easy. So I need this app to come to a device on which I can use it so I can start to play this game. But yeah, it's called HQ Trivia. Everyone should go download it. Because it doesn't require like a tremendous amount of time commitment. Because the games are like 10 minutes long, like 5-10 minutes long. And then you get to see Scott's face.
That's cool and creepy and unifying.
The future is wild.
On to my next thing, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. Then. Oh, I'd also like to say that Joan of Arc, the band that I mentioned, the rock band, actually is an American Chicagoan band. And wait, what are you called if you are from Chicago? Yeah, and I think they formed in the mid-90s. This, so not from Sweden, or I think I said Swedish, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. From Chicago.
This Yahoo Answers user asked, what do you call people who live in Chicago? And Canada, with a K, replied, Chicagoans, I believe.
Okay, I think I just add an Ian, which isn't. It's just Chicago.
Chicagoans. Yeah. Chicagoans?
Got it.
LF said, that was people in New York are New Yorkers. We are Chicagoans. I think people from New York are Yankees, and people from Chicago are Chicagoans. Depends, Northsider or Southsiders. I call us lucky or Chicagoans.
Barf. Anyway. The thing that I was originally going to talk about, or my third, this is the second thing that I've gone through, or the third thing, I believe. Yeah. Just going back to YouTube, as I do ever so often, to catch up on the YouTubers that I followed when I was 15, 16 years old. And just going through all of their Halloween-themed videos. Because they're very festive, and now they're very well edited, because they get graphic designers to do all their graphics.
Professionals to edit them for them.
Yeah. So they're really entertaining now. And, I mean, the authenticity is completely void.
No, it's fine. Those full-screen editors make a lot of money, and good for them.
Yes. Good on YouTubers for expanding the economy and making more jobs available to creatives. Don't laugh. This will be you.
True.
So I was just watching a bunch of their videos. You know, Zoella does her full hole stuff with a bunch of the clothes she buys and all the candles she buys. And then Tyler Oakley is doing a video each day of the month that's Halloween themed with each of his YouTuber friends. And he did a maze video with Liza Koshy, which was them just screaming the entire time. I don't even know why I watched it.
That's good content.
Him and Mamrie did an amazing Halloween ASMR video, which was so good. Did you watch it? I sent it to you. I just think they're when they're together, I think they should have their own television show. I think Mamrie at least should have her own television show. She's spectacular and hilarious. Mamrie Hart, everyone, look her up. And what else? Yeah, I guess I just got into I'm not really a Halloween person. I think I haven't dressed up for Halloween since high school, and even then I had to because we were in leadership. Yeah.
I'd never dressed up.
I had to be spirited to set a good
I didn't.
Example. I think that just goes to show what a great president
I was a phenomenal
Nikki,
president. Under the Grayson administration, the school didn't close.
It's true. It's true.
So
I guess that was my third thing.
What's your holiday ranking? What are your top three holidays?
Well, I really like, I don't even, I like summer a lot, and just the idea of summer. So
the
I think 4th of July is fun, but it's not fun in Los Angeles, I don't think. It's fun in
the colonies.
Yeah, it is, because you can have actual fireworks and actual barbecues, and I don't know. LA doesn't have real barbecues, I don't think. You can go to barbecue restaurants, even though they're not that great either.
Wow, slam. There's a lot of.
They're not. Name one great barbecue restaurant here.
On Crenshaw near my house. There's a place, Woody's, that's okay, which is down the street from my house.
Okay, well, I said great.
Okay, well, great. I want to go
to
Carolina.
But I do like the 4th of July. I like the 4th of July because it's summer, and I like summer. And I also enjoy Christmas, mm-hmm. I suppose. But then the day after Christmas is so sad, it makes me not like Christmas anymore. And what other holidays are there? There's Halloween.
There's Thanksgiving.
There's Easter. I don't really like Thanksgiving. I think it's just too close to Christmas. And if we could just push them together, yeah, it would be better. Plus, or just get rid of Thanksgiving completely or reimage the holiday. It needs a complete reimaging.
100%. But as far as calendar goes, I think if American Thanksgiving was on the same day as Canadian Thanksgiving, which is in September, the holiday flow would work way better.
What does Canadian Thanksgiving
same
celebrate?
As ours. It's just
or earlier. Commemorate?
Yeah. The same as ours. It's just
yeah. Really? Okay. Do they eat the same things? Do you
I
know?
I think so. Not sure.
I actually looked up this week who else does Thanksgiving. Or not Thanksgiving. Who else does... No one except Canada. who else does Halloween? And essentially Americans are the only ones that make a huge deal out of it. But I heard in Japan via... I guess 90s Halloween movies. Mm-hmm. Japan kind of does their own Halloween, but not really. No one does it like us, but no
one,
it's a weird...
No one does it like we do. I hate Halloween.
Why do you hate Halloween?
Real reason or fake reason?
Both.
Content reason? Okay. The real reason that I'll cut out, it's because it's my dad's birthday. So it's always kind of sad in the house, and I just don't like Halloween because it was always like kind of sad.
Yeah.
The content reason is that I just think it's dumb. Like, I just don't understand what the point, like, why I don't like being scared into for me to have an entire holiday based off of like being slightly on edge and slightly afraid seems dumb and counterintuitive to me.
Yeah, you don't like spooky or creepy things. Really. I do, but I just think there's a lot of effort that goes into Halloween, and I'm not ready for it. It's Halloween is the point of the year where you're like, oh, the year is ending, but also we're going to smush a bunch of things into the ending of the year. Because it's just Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, mm-hmm. and it's just party after party after party. Or not. Or being alone after being alone after being alone. And I don't know. It's holidays are weird in America. We put a lot of concentration on them.
Yeah, into
as
moments.
Being Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed to
And like, in a way it feels artificial.
Yeah.
Because it's completely commercialized and it isn't about being with you are going to be with your family whether you like it or not, but the moments that you spend with them are going to be shopping or I don't know, you can make memories that way, but
I think my ranking is candle nights, which is Thanksgiving, less because of the holiday because it sucks, more because of the food situation,
right?
And then do birthdays count as holidays?
Yeah, yours
like
do.
Personal?
I guess we have to be, more I should have been more inclusive than the traditional Christian American holidays.
That's what
but
I
yeah,
said candle nights.
Yeah.
Thanks, McElroy's. back on to quote topic.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you about Animal Crossing Pocket Camp Game of the Year 2017?
Sure.
There's an Animal Crossing game
like
for
Animal
the phone.
Crossing. I wanted it to be on the Switch.
I know. Well, that's coming next year, allegedly. But in Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, you two can have your same villager and interact with your same neighbor friends, except in this one, you're so poor that you can't afford to buy a house, so you live in a van and a tent. And you can give Tom Nook real fucking money, real American dollars, and he'll give you stuff.
I don't want to live in a van or a tent. The whole point I enjoyed Animal Crossing was because I got to live the fantasy of living in an actual house, which I have never done.
If you've never played Animal Crossing, what are you doing? But for some reason, if you've never played Animal Crossing, you are a person who has moved into a town.
Not really a person.
You're a close approximation to a human. And
compared to the other beings in the town. Relative to the other
things that are alive, which are just animals.
Animal Crossing.
You move into the town and you live with them and you basically just do errands. It's like a life sim. You like do errands, you dig for fossils, you sell plants, you sell fruit, you grow trees, you grow flowers, you complete museums, you make friends. It's just really, it's just a nice place to chill and hang out.
You complete museums casually. You find pieces of art and fossils.
Yes. You have sometimes
and discover new fish and animal aquatic species on the daily.
Sometimes Red will sell you fake art, and you have to just be on the lookout so you don't take it to Blathers. And Blathers is like, "Hey, idiot! You spent 18,000 bells on a fake Mona Lisa, you dumb idiot!" And then you have to throw the fucking painting into the river.
Is it a river? It's just a stream that runs throughout.
But it
leads into an ocean.
Well, in New Leaf, it's a river. It's a river. It does. There's like a waterfall where it starts, and then it goes through the town, and then it spits out in the delta in the river.
Did you ever get a message in a bottle?
Yeah.
Those were so cool.
Those were extremely good. Anyway, they just made an Animal Crossing game for the phone. It's way better than it has any right to be. It could be better. Especially because I was totally anticipating Nintendo, like, somehow fucking this game up. I really just would have appreciated if they just put New Leaf on the phone. They could have been like, we'll charge you $15, but it's just New Leaf, and we tweaked it for mobile. And I would have bought it immediately. But this is good. It just doesn't feel like, it does not feel like a full Animal Crossing game, but for the brief spurts where you do play it, it does feel like Animal Crossing, which I think is the big thing. And it's really fun. It's not out yet in the United States.
Yeah. What percentage of the world do you think will be playing it?
A lot. I think once it like actually makes it, like once it comes out, it'll be huge. Nintendo's still making a ridiculous amount of money off of Fire Emblem Heroes, which was the mobile Fire Emblem game. They're making a ridiculous amount of money off of Super Mario Run, which is the Mario mobile game. And I think once this actually comes out, it'll be huge. But it only came out in Australia, and then you had to, like, to get it on your phone, you either had to find the file, like the application file itself, if you're on Android, or make an Australian iTunes account, log into that on your phone, and then buy it off of the Australian iTunes store, and then log out of the account, and then use it with your normal account. That was the only way to get it done. People have done it, though, it's good. It's good stuff. A lot of the ambiance to me of Animal Crossing is just kind of like walking around and hanging out, and that part kind of feels hampered by the fact that, like, you know where the boundaries are.
So it's not a Pokemon Go situation.
It is not a Pokemon Go situation where you have to like interact with the real world. They're also they're forever going to make money off of that. Like, it definitely felt like it was a fad, but the middle of the country still exists. So, and children still exist. So, like, they are still playing.
Right.
Which is cool. They just released the Generation 3 Pokemon into that game. So.
Dope. Yeah.
Animal Crossing. It's Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. Get out there and download it. Make a fake account.
And email us about it.
Yeah, email us at tangentialpod@gmail.com. You also can get into contact with Jules and I on the Twitter machine by following me at Godzilla or Jules at JS Klimek. She doesn't use it, but maybe if you tweeted at her, she'd use it.
Yeah.
You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Overcast. Any outlet wherein a human being can find podcasts, you can find this show. We're on Anchor, because I'll remember to put the episode up there this week. Just search for Tangential. That's how you found this episode. But tell your friends, tell your family, tell your cats, your dogs, they can hear. They have ears. Put some earbuds in there. They'll like it. Like to thank Louis Zong for the use of our theme song, Blackberry Jam.
Thanks a lot, Louis.
Shouts. Tremendous shouts. Thank you so much. And yeah, I think that's it.
That was the show. Like, we'll be coming to you next week from a special secret
location. Did I?
With a very special guest.
What? Guests?
So yay.
Love guests.
Yay. We haven't had a guest on for a while, so that should be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Get excited.
Get hype, as the kids say. I think that's it. For some reason, I feel like I left a dropped part of the outro, but I don't think I did. Impossible to know.
It's possible.
It's possible.
We'll just ask Kalina.
She'll let us know. Yeah, thanks for listening, y'all. Have a great rest of whatever time it is that you're listening to this. And we will talk to y'all.
Happy Halloween.
Next week. Happy Halloween.
Bye.
Be safe. Have fun. Be safe. Don't die. Bye.
Yes. Bye.